Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has voice that made me whole. His love for me, it is like to go. My God is real. I can feel it in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel it made me whole. His love for me, it is like to go. My God is real. I can't feel it in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can't feel him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like you go. My God is real, I can feel him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Here we are another Friday night, ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We are the Macedonia Call around the globe. We're here at our home with myself, I'm Joanna Green, my husband, Evangelist Clint Green, sister, Evangelist Phyllis Sinners, and her husband, Brother Bobby Sinners. And we want to come to you tonight in a prayer request for Keith Green. He has cancer, battling that now for several weeks. Pray for Don and Herb and Shirley. All of these are brother and sister of Sister Betty Yearwood. Don, her brother, went through a 5 bypass surgery, and he's still recovering from that. Herb, there's something wrong with one of his legs. God needs to move on that. And Shirley, something's wrong with her back. So if you would like to call in and join in with us, we'd sure love to have you with us. 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. If you have a burning testimony that you want to share, you go right ahead and call. If you're a preacher and you'd like to preach Jesus Christ with us, you're sure welcome to come in. We believe in living right. We believe in getting saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you're one of them, why don't you just call in? Again, it's 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, a prayer request, heisrisen38@aol.com. heisrisen38@aol.com. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, you see these needs, dear God. Sister Sandra Combs, dear Lord, there with a massive stroke, dear God. Lord, we ask that you touch the Yearwoods, dear God, as they travel to Ohio from Tennessee tomorrow morning, Lord. Just keep your hand upon them, Lord, and protection. And Lord, Keith Green, we ask that you touch him, Lord. Reach down where he's at, dear Lord, and help him and help his family, dear God. Give him strength. And Lord, touch Don, Herb, and Shirley, brother and sister Yearwood's relation there. Lord, just touch them. And Lord, we're believing in a good report. And anybody out there, dear Lord, in other countries, third world countries, that's going through things for the gospel's sake, Lord, they go through persecution, Lord, we ask that you protect them and make a way, Lord, that your word can get out, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless this ministry, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. real fast here, I'd like to go over, last week we read to you some of the countries that were listening in, and we've got some new ones, and I'm just going to read them real quick. Last week we've had Canada, Nicaragua, we had the Dominican Republic, we had New Zealand, Australia, United Kingdom, Pakistan, Sweden. Praise God for all them countries that have been listening. 282 cities in the United States, Dayton, Ohio, Middletown, Ohio, Sacramento, California, Miamisburg, Ohio, Franklin, Ohio, San Jose, California, Rockland, California, Grand Rapids, Missouri, Cincinnati, Ohio, Lima, Ohio, Fairborn, Ohio, Hamilton, Ohio, Carlisle, Ohio, Grant, Michigan, I believe it is, Germantown, Ohio, New Orleans, Louisiana. Praise God, I've got a lot of family down there. God bless y'all if y'all are listening tonight. Madisonville, Tennessee, looks like Lincoln, California, Lebanon, Ohio, and Springboro, Ohio. There's 9 UK from the UK listening. Praise God, and we pray for you. Pray for us that we do a work here for the Lord, and you're sure welcome to call in. 347-989-8862, and I'm going to turn it over to my husband, Evangelist Clint Green.
It's good to be with you tonight. I want to go back over just a little bit of what I studied on last week. If you have a King James Bible, this is what I'm preaching out of, is the King James Bible. And in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, we was talking about how Paul had went to Thessalonica, and he had went into the synagogue, and he had that was his manner. The Bible said in verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in and to them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And the Bible said here that some of them believed. Praise the Lord. And then after this happened, I don't want to say too much about what I preached last week, but the thing about it is, he preached Christ to the Jewish people. And he went into the synagogue. Praise the Lord. And he preached, says here, in verse 2, for 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So we see here that it was necessary that Christ should die for our sins. And Paul was bringing this out in 1 Corinthians 15 and 21, it said, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And also Paul taught in the first part of 1 Corinthians that they were to believe on Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures, and that they were to believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection according to the Scriptures. He said, except you believe that, you could not be saved. And we're trying to bring across here that it was necessary, as Paul said there, that it was Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. Well, we know today that animal sacrifices could never take away sin. We see back in the Old Testament, I don't know if Joanna's got anything on that, but she's going to help me out tonight. But we see that animal sacrifices could never take away sin. Paul the Apostle, he had seen Christ on the road to Damascus, and he had heard the voice of the Lord speaking in the Hebrew tongue. And he knew that this was Christ, the one that they had crucified. And he had persecuted people that believed in that way. And he was going to Damascus with letters from the chief priests, and he was to bind all them that call upon the name of Jesus. Well, Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus in a vision, and he saw a great light, he said, above the brightness of the noonday sun. He fell to the ground, heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And then he told him to go to the street called Straight. And he spoke to a man by the name of Ananias, I believe was his name, an old prophet in the city of Damascus. And he said, "Go and you'll find him. He's praying. He's at the street called Straight." He said, "Go and inquire of one called Saul of Tarsus, or Paul." But anyhow, Paul was saved. He knew that Christ was the answer. He knew that the Jewish religion was only good up to the time that Christ died on that cross. And when he died on that cross, he made a new covenant with the house of Israel. And not only with the house of Israel, but he said that whosoever will could come and take of the water of life freely. John the Baptist, when he was spoken to by the Lord, or by God had told him that he was a voice crying in the wilderness, that he was to preach that there was one coming after him mightier than him. He said, "There's one coming after me mightier than I." He said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And so this was the Lamb of God. When he saw Jesus on the bank there one day, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." So we go back to the sacrifice in the Old Testament. We know that Adam sinned in the garden. We know that it was sin that separated man from God. I want to read a scripture here. In 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Or if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, the Bible tells us that in John 1 John 3:4, I want to say, I got a question here. What is sin? And the Bible tells us here, in the 4th verse of 1 John, 3rd chapter, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we see here that sin was a transgression of the law. Now God had a law in the garden when he made man in his own image, and he told Adam, he said, "You can eat of every tree of the garden, but," he said, "you cannot eat of the one tree in the midst of the garden." And Adam was not to eat of that tree of knowledge in the midst of the garden. Well, God said it was not good for man to be alone, and he took the man, and he caused a deep sleep to come upon him, and he took a rib from the side of the man, Adam. And the Bible tells us that He took the rib and made he a woman, and he brought the woman to Adam. Adam called her Eve. Well, he placed them in this beautiful garden. He told them to till the garden. He told them to take care of the garden. And anyhow, the serpent, that old devil, came into that garden. And when he came into that garden, I believe he was in that tree, because he spoke to Eve in the midst of that garden. And he said, "You shall not die if you eat of this tree." But you see, he was lying. The Bible said he was a liar from the beginning. And he lied to Eve, and she took and ate of the fruit. And she gave also to her husband, and he ate of the fruit also. Well, when that happened, death passed upon all men. So there had to be a way to get people back to God. And the Bible said here that sin passed upon all men. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, I don't have that wrote down, I don't believe here. But in 1 Corinthians, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." You see, the Bible said the soul that sinneth, Ezekiel 7:18-4, he said, "All souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." In the 20th verse, he says also, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So God made it plain that the soul that sinneth would die. So death passed upon all men through the sin of Adam. And so there had to be a way to bring men back to God. And I'm going to turn it back over to Joanna here for a minute. She's
praise
got
the Lord.
Something to say.
I was thinking there, we was talking about the garden, how the curse came upon them when they failed God, when they disobeyed the Lord. And, you know, the Lord led the Hebrew children out of Egypt. And in the wilderness, Moses was over them. And God told Moses in Exodus 25, chapter 25 and verse 8, said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." So God was trying to show them a way that they can reconcile back to the Lord. And I think they started calling on the Lord at Seth, and men started calling on God then, and realizing that they needed the Lord. And, you know, the tabernacle, it talks about how they would be hanging in the door of the tabernacle. And we know that Jesus is the door. When they had the tabernacle, the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. And he would take a blood sacrifice of a pure, unspotted lamb. And he was the only one allowed in only one time a year, and it was of the Levitical priesthood. And if God didn't receive their sacrifice, if the priest had any sin on him, he would die. And history says that they'd tie a rope around the waist and they'd pull him out, because no one was allowed in there except the high priest. So if God did accept the blood sacrifice, then the bells and the pomegranate on the bottom of the garment of the priest would ring. And, you know, today we've got Jesus Christ. He is the Paschal Lamb. He is the perfect Lamb. A Paschal Lamb is a type of Christ. Now, I've got some notes here from Sister Betty Bowens that we had studied this a long time ago. It's innocent and gentle. A Paschal Lamb means, Paschal means, which signifies to pass, to leap, or to skip over. It's innocent and gentle. We can call a little child a lamb, but we cannot call it a Paschal Lamb. The type Paschal Lamb can only be applied to Christ. The things done and seen in the tabernacle prefigured spiritual and heavenly things. Hebrews 9:11-12, verses 12, 13, and 24, it talks about Jesus being the perfect tabernacle. And you know, Easter Sunday is coming up. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is upon us here in America. Next Sunday is our celebration of our Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And that's what gives us our hope, is that we'll raise again someday if we go by the grave, or if when Jesus is coming, if we're standing and we're still alive, we will change in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And, you know, we've got hope today. You know, Brother Yearwood's broadcast was about mercy. And right now, God is mixing his mercy. He's judging with mercy. Then you have a chance to come in and get in and be with the Lord. Praise God. And I want to read over at John 3:16. 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." And you know, Nicodemus came to the Lord and Jesus and asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus was telling him, right here, I can read it to you. After he had asked, "What must I do?" he said, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born?" Praise the Lord. You know, the curse of Adam and Eve, we are born into the curse. You and I both. And it doesn't take just being a good person or just feeding the hungry or the poor or just doing good to others, but it's to be born again and accepting the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. That's how you're born again. So you could be as good as you want to, but again, like Brother Green was saying, the devil is a liar. If you think, well, I'm a good person, that God's just going to let me go to heaven, you will not go to heaven. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let him lie to you. You've got to accept the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid that price at Calvary. And you know, the ground is level at Calvary, and you can come in while it is day. Praise God. God is so merciful. And one of these days, when the rapture takes place, God is going to pour out seven vows and revelations, and it's going to be the judgment of God without mercy. So God is a God of love, and he is a God of wrath. And you say, well, I wouldn't serve a God that would send me to hell. Well, you better accept the sacrifice then that he offered, the only begotten Son. That's the only way you're going to make it in. He said, if any man try to enter in any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. And John 10:10 talks about the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came that he gave life and more abundantly. And that's the only way you can have abundant life. It's eternal life. It's not having five Cadillacs and 5 and 10 houses. It's about having abundant life with the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. After you get born again, there's a sanctification process that takes place. It means you change. And when you change, you want to please God. He changes you on the inside, and people say, well, man, people can't see my heart. But you know, God can see your heart, but people can look at you on the outside. And he said, we're to be the light of the world. And you know, if we're to be the light of the world, the Bible talks about that we are the salt of the earth. And how can we be the salt of the earth if we lost our Savior? But praise God, if you've got the Savior, praise the Lord. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the earth. Praise the Lord. And they can see Jesus in you just the way you walk, talk. You may be the only Bible somebody maybe reads. You may not be able to mention a word to them. But praise the Lord, they can look at you and see that God is in your life and say, what is this about you? What is it that you're shining that I can see that you're different than everybody else? He said to be separate. Come out from amongst the world and be ye separate. He said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, for this is your reasonable service, holy and acceptable to God. Praise the Lord. Honey, you want to say anything else?
Well, she's doing real good there. She could have just went right on. Praise God. Praise God. Well, here, Romans 5:9, it says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. She was talking about there's coming a wrath of God upon this world, And you know, the Bible says, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I believe it was John the Baptist when the Pharisees and them came out there to his baptism, and they rejected his baptism. Praise God. But they should have accepted it, and then they should have accepted Christ. But the Bible said that being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. You see, he shed his blood at Calvary. He died on that cross, and you know, like she said, Easter's coming up. And I tell you, it'd be a good thing if you're not in church anywhere to go out on Sunday morning and get yourself in church. And when they give the altar call, hopefully you'll get into a church that they make an altar call. They'll preach against sin, and they'll tell you you must be born again, and you must repent, and you must give your life to the Lord. See, he's the Lord of all, but we got to make him Lord of our life. We got to allow him to. The Bible said he stands at the door and knock. In Revelation 3:20, says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You see, we could be in a church where the Lord's on the outside if we don't invite the Lord in, if we're doing things that the Lord's not pleased with. This was a Laodicean church, and they had plenty of money. They said they was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. And Jesus said, no, you're poor and wretched and blind and miserable. And he counseled them, I believe it was that church that he counseled, he said to buy the gold, try it in the fire. You see, sometimes we got to put ourselves in the fire. We got to get down to business with God. We got to get right down to business with God. We can't beat around the bush. We got to go straight to God. Sometimes we got a lot of religions, the Bible said, that they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. If they're not teaching you the Bible, if they're not telling you that you got to repent and you've got to be born again, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and he cannot enter into it. Nicodemus said, what must I do? Basically, to be saved. How can I be born again? He said, I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. But you see, Jesus was talking of a spiritual birth, you know. When we get down to business and call on God, he'll send forth his spirit into our heart, and we'll know that we're saved. The Bible said, Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Of not of works, lest any man should boast. See, we can't work out our own salvation just going out here and offering up animal sacrifices. We must accept the Lamb of God, that one that died on the cross, that shed his blood, and he fulfilled all those sacrifices. And he is the way and the truth and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him. I tell you, he's out, got his arms outstretched tonight. Praise God, and he'll save you if you call on him. Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to turn it back to Joanna.
I'm going to have my sister Phyllis Evangelist. I want her to testify here. I want her to tell how God saved her.
I thank the Lord for saving me and filling me with the Holy Ghost. I thank him that he is my Savior. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I thank him for the healings that he's done in my family My sister Donna had gotten some bad news, but the Lord turned it around and gave her a good report. There is no cancer, and I thank God for that. And I thank him for this awesome preaching tonight.
Praise God. We love her and her husband very much. We thank God for her and her family. Thank God for her family in Kentucky there. Lord, we ask that you touch each and every one of them down there, God, in Kentucky, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to move on Sister Donna, Lord, and her grandson. Thank you, Lord, for a great report, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you touch Ruth, Sister Ruth, and Brother Don, I believe it is, and Sister Brenda and her husband, and all the family of Sister Phyllis and Brother Bobby. God has sure touched Brother Bobby's mama. She was given a report of cancer, but she no longer has that cancer, and we thank the Lord for touching her. And, you know, we've about ran out of time here, but you call in any time, and he is risen38@AOL.com. Until next time, we'll see you Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern time next week. God bless.